Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Today I want to talk to you about something that every believer desperately needs, but very few people seek anymore. Most believers today want more knowledge and more prophecy and revelation, more signs and more blessings. But Scripture teaches that what changes a person more than anything else is not simply learning more information. It is an encounter of holiness with our wonderful Creator. The closer you come to Him, the less impressed you become with yourself. The closer you walk with Yeshua, the less interested you become in pointing out everyone else's failures. One of the greatest signs of spiritual maturity is not that you can identify error in others. It is that set-apart spirit continually revealing areas of your own heart that still need change. That is what happened in Scripture to many of Yahweh's prophets. That's what happens to many of Yahweh's called people. And we're going to look at what happened to Isaiah and see that. I want to say that there are so many of us, but I am not even going to talk about us and the Christians of this world, the believers that say they've reached a certain point and continually point at others' failures without looking at themselves. I will say me. I will not say us. I will look at the example that Paul gives in this scripture, saying he is still the greatest, the chief of sinners. As much as we continue to work to draw closer to our Creator and improve ourselves, we must understand humility and the reality that when we see faults in others, we often don't look at the faults in ourselves. But Yah truly wants to help us and help us to grow closer to Him. And often we give examples in Scripture of the people in Scripture who Yah called and what He did in their life. So let's take a look here at what happened to Isaiah. Because our Creator often shows us the sins around us before He shows us our own sin, right? Well, Isaiah began as a faithful prophet. He wasn't compromising. He was speaking Yahweh's truth. He warned Israel about greed. In Isaiah 5, verse 8, "Oh, to those who join house to house and field to field until there is no room left." He condemned drunkenness. Isaiah 5, verse 11, "Oh, to those who rise early in the morning to pursue strong drink." He condemned moral confusion. Isaiah 5, verse 20, "Oh, to those who call evil good and good evil." Now that sounds familiar today. Today people celebrate what Yahweh calls sin. They mock holiness. They refine marriage. They refine gender. They refine truth. Isaiah was right to express sin. The church must never stop preaching repentance. But here's the lesson. You can preach against sin and still have pride hiding inside your own heart. There is a difference between exposing sin because you love a wonderful Creator and exposing sin because you secretly enjoy feeling more righteous than others. Those are two completely different spirits. As I reflect back on my ministry, I realize that I often call out sin, and I have to question, why do I call out sin? I want to believe I do because I love our Creator and I love His Word, and I believe and show faith into that. That's what I want to believe. That's what I will tell others. That's what I will tell myself. But is there anything in me that enjoys feeling more righteous than others? To be honest with myself, it could be true. I want to get away from that place where there can't be true. Where 100% that is not the reason I do this. That is not the reason that I preach the word. That is not the reason I confront others. That's not the reason I confront sin. I want to be 100% sure. I want to stay humble and not sound so positive. I want to be realistic and understand not only can this be true, but this is common in many people that preach the word today. This is why I continually search out the scriptures. This is why I try to put myself and understand the place that the people who wrote the scriptures were in at those times and during those times. This is why I want to understand the order of our Creator. This is why I want to express and live according to the ways He says to live, to study and to put into action. Because I want, without any doubt, me, myself, to know I am sharing the word of our Creator because I love our Creator. Not in any way do I want to give others the intention that I am better than them. And I feel my heart doesn't feel like I'm doing that. But to be honest, when people hear my message, sometimes they feel that. Especially the average Christian who's not following the guidelines and instructions. Even though, rightfully so, they feel condemned after hearing the message of truth of Scripture, they'll point not to the scriptures, but they'll point to me. What do you think? You're better than me? You think you're better than us? I don't think I'm better. I don't think I know more. I think I'm trying to be obedient to what the word says. And they could say, well, do you think we're not trying to be obedient to what the word says? My first question would be is, are you reading the word? Are you reading what it says? Because if you are, why do you do the things you do? If somebody says, I know, but I'm weak. If somebody says, I don't know. But you can't mistranslate or misquote what Scripture says. Obedience is blessings and curses and disobedience go hand in hand. I want to learn how to be a true worshiper of our Creator. I want to change my vision, and I want not to base my ministry on what people believe or how they feel about me, but I want to get the message across in a way to know that I love and understand people's struggles. I'm human and I have struggles as well. As I look to desire to be a worshiper, take a look at Isaiah. This man calling out all this sin. But in Isaiah chapter 6, everything changed. King Uzziah died. The nation was uncertain. Political leadership had changed. People were afraid. Does this sound familiar? Whenever people panic, our Creator reminds His people who was still sitting on the throne. Isaiah 6 verse 1 says, I saw my Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. Notice something. Isaiah wasn't looking at the government anymore. He wasn't looking at wicked people anymore. He wasn't looking at society anymore. He was looking at a wonderful Creator. Many believers today spend hours studying politics, hours studying conspiracies, hours watching the news, but very, very little time looking at our Creator. Whatever fills your vision eventually shapes your heart. If all of you look at darkness, if that's all you'll see, your heart will become discouraged. If your eyes stay on Yeshua, faith begins to rise. Hallelujah. Remember, heaven is focused on our Creator's glory. Isaiah saw this. He saw something that many don't see. The angels were consistently declaring in Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy. Adonai Tzivot. Notice what they were not saying. They were not talking about themselves. They were not comparing ministries. They were not trying to build followers. They weren't seeking recognition. Everything pointed towards our wonderful Creator. That is true worship. Today, much of Christianity has become personally driven. People build platforms, followers, brands, influences. But the kingdom is different. John the Immerser understood this. John 3:30 says, "He must increase while I must decrease." That should be every disciple's prayer. Oh, Yahweh, make more of yourself and very little of me. That is the verse. Write that down. Write that down. He must increase while I must decrease. John 3:30. The presence of a wonderful Creator reveals our own heart. Isaiah had already pronounced many woes. Woe to this and woe to that. But after seeking Yahweh's holiness, everything changed. Isaiah 6:5. Oh, to me, for I am ruined. Notice, he didn't suddenly discover new sins. He discovered our Creator's holiness. The brighter the light, the more dust becomes visible. When your house is dark, it looks clean. Open the curtain. Suddenly you notice every speck. Yahweh's holiness exposes what we never noticed before. That is why mature believers often seem more humble than young believers. Not because they sin more, because they see more. Paul wrote near the end of his life in 1 Timothy 1:15. Messiah Yeshua came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Notice, Paul didn't say I used to be. He recognized how much grace he still needed. This is spiritual maturity. This is what we should seek and desire. It's a personal repentance we must seek. Many Christians are praying for revival, but revival never starts out there. It starts here. It starts with me. David prayed. In Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24, "Search me, O Yah, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way within me." Not search my spouse, search my pastor, search my government. Search me. That is discipleship. Real disciples welcome conviction, because conviction is evidence of the set-apart spirit that is working in your life. If you do not see a flaw with yourself, you need to question yourself. We need to take this example and look at what Isaiah says in watching our words. In Isaiah 6, verse 5, Isaiah immediately became aware of something specific. In Isaiah 6, verse 5, he says, "I am a man of unclean lips." Interesting. Not murder, not theft. His words. James tells us in James 3, verse 2, "If anyone does not stumble in speech, he is a mature man." One of the greatest indicators of spiritual maturity is speech. How do we talk to our spouse? How do we talk to our children? Our employers? People online? Do our words build or tear down? Yeshua said in Matthew 12:36, "People will give account for every careless word." That should cause every one of us to pause before speaking. Remember this important thing. Words do matter. Not only the words we speak to ourselves or about ourselves, but in understanding what we're putting out of our mouths. The scriptures talk all about words sparking fires and creating issues and control of the tongue. The whole teaching we could do on that topic alone. But when we look at the lesson that Isaiah has here, and in humility, I am a man of unclean lips. And we think about the importance of speech in Scripture. And we think about your words. Is it building others up or tearing down? I have to question myself. I don't want people to feel condemned when I do a talk or a lecture. I want them to feel a motivation to seek righteousness, not a defense or excuses. And I pray the Father help me and help my mouth and help my tongue do that. People will give account for every careless word. Careless doesn't mean cursing. It means a word that is not thought of before being spoken. Remember humility and worship. But remember, as we look at the example in Isaiah, Isaiah had to confess first that is, he is a man of unclean lips. First, he had to confess that. Then, our Creator acted. The burning coal touched his lips. The point was not simply forgiveness. It was preparation. Our Creator wanted a clean vessel. Many people want ministry. Yahweh wants holiness. Many people want influence. Yahweh wants obedience. Many want a microphone. Yahweh wants surrender. Before Yeshua sent the disciples, he first shaped their character. Ministry flows from intimacy. Fruit grows from abiding. John 15, verse 5 says, "The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Notice, fruit comes before fame. Character before calling. Obedience before influence. Obedience can only be the result of submission. But today, the church uses the word submission as a curse word. Don't talk about that. It's a bad word. It puts us below one another. But not only in Scripture does it talk about a hierarchy, but we have to understand the most submissive person in Scripture was Yeshua, our Messiah, setting an example. Are we willing and able to submit to our wonderful Creator and what He wants from us, what He wants to do, how He wants us to live? Once we're able to understand the order of our Creator, once we understand that the fruit comes before the things that are desired wants, before the fame and the character has to be made before the calling and the obedience has to be there before he's going to use you to influence others. Because the enemy wants to do the opposite. The enemy wants us to get the fame and to have the so-called calling and to be an influence before having fruit and character and obedience built up. And then he could use that person to help many people go astray. But if we sue it within Yahweh's order, we get the true calling. And we understand after we've been cleansed. Yahweh asked in Isaiah 6 verse 8, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah answered, "Here am I, send me." Notice the order. Encounter, repentance, cleansing, then service. Many people reverse the order. They want to serve before being transformed. But our Creator desires transformed servants, not busy servants. Activity is not the same as fruitfulness. Yeshua never commanded us to stay busy. He commanded us to remain faithful. Hallelujah. Order. The patterns. the way of our Creator. It's not that we don't know what He wants us to do. It's that we take it out of order, or we let the enemy show us a different order than our Creator wants. It's not that we don't have the characteristics of our Creator that He wants us to have, but when we take it out of order, it becomes useless. In fact, sometimes even more dangerous. I've learned many things from gardening and growing trees, particularly fruit trees. And when we look at the idea of gardens and planting and growing and fruit in general, Yeshua gives good examples of this, and He often compared the kingdom to seeds. In John 12, verse 24, He said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone." The kingdom grows quietly, hidden, slowly, roots first, fruit later. Today's culture celebrates visibility. Yahweh often develops people in hidden places. Remember that. David spent years with sheep. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Joseph spent years in prison. Yeshua spent 30 years pretty much in secret before 3 years of public ministry. Never despise hidden seasons. Yahweh is growing the roots. Remember that. Do not get ahead of Him. Do not take things or let things get out of order. Ask yourself, when I spend time with our Creator, do I have, or do I desire, and am I criticizing others or examining myself? Do I become more humble, or am I more opinionated? Do I become more compassionate or more judgmental? The evidence that we have truly worshipped is not emotional excitement. The evidence is transformation. The evidence is repentance. And repentance is not crying or tears. Repentance is to change your mind, to change your thinking, to change your way. But we need the order of our Creator, the transformation, the repentance. And the evidence is obedience. When you compare your life to the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, found in the foundation of Scriptures, are you in line with our Creator's commandments? Or do you continue to make excuses and say, "I don't have to do that. I'm no longer under that. I don't have to follow these things." Remember, evidence is not making excuses. Evidence is obedience. It is becoming more like Yeshua. That is what discipleship is all about. The world we live in today doesn't need more religious people. The world doesn't need people following the patterns of the enemy that are taking Yahweh's ways out of order. It needs disciples who have truly encountered the holiness of our Creator in the order He wanted it to be. When we see His holiness, our pride should begin to die. Our excuses should disappear. Our speech should change. Getting control of our words and thinking about everything that comes out of our mouth. Are we building others up or tearing them down? Our hearts should be softened. Are we hard-hearted, or are we compassionate towards others? Our love grows. Is your hate leading your desire to get a word out, or is it your love for our Creator? And our obedience deepens. How far do you want to go? Is it to please your flesh and what you think is right? Or is it to follow the words of Scripture and the order of our Creator and what He desires us to do. Yeshua sets the great example. We do all this not with a hardening of our heart, or with a hate, or with a hesitation, but with joy we go out there to share our Creator's word. With joy we should go out there and seek obedience. Then our Creator can trust us with a greater responsibility. Not because we're talented or we have a special talent, but because we are surrendered. May we believers who spend less time examining everyone else's faults. That's how I want to become. A believer who has more of a desire to lift people up than to point out things that are going to tear people down. This comes with maturity and time. And more time allowing the Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart Holy Spirit, to transform our own hearts before we seek to transform other hearts, that we would seek to transform our own hearts. As Yeshua taught, Matthew 7, verses 3 to 5, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam in your own eye? First, take the beam out of your own eye. May we seek His presence daily. May we worship Him in spirit and truth. May we decrease so Messiah can increase. And may our lives reflect holiness, humility, and obedience of our King Yeshua. This is easier done with those we don't know. But what about our loved ones? Can we also apply these principles? Whether people know us or not, are we willing to go out there and teach people and show people by example the order of Messiah, growth, and what true holiness is all about? That is my desire, to grow and to become a worshiper. And I pray this message will help you do the same. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yah be with you, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.